As I was sitting there singing 10,000 Reasons, I thought, oh my gosh, this could fit really well into this sermon. Why give thanks? I have 10,000 reasons, and we're going to go through all of them. If you have ever had the privilege of hanging out with little kids for some period of time, you know that you're going to get quizzed. Why aren't there any more dinosaurs? Why do sheep and cows sleep standing up? Why did we used to be monkeys, and why aren't we still monkeys? Why are there so many languages in the world? Why do people get sick? Why do grown-ups sometimes cry when they're happy? Why can't I stay up as late as you do? Why do the kids next door have so many more toys than we have? Why do I have to invite that girl to my birthday party? Well, I've got really just one big question for you tonight. I'm really not trying to annoy or be bothersome to you, but it was the text in Psalm 100 that made me do it. The question simply is, why give thanks? Especially to our God on this Thanksgiving Eve day. What's it all about? Well, you're here tonight probably because you've already answered that question. I suspect you'll sit down with your families and remember to thank God before you dive into a perfectly oven-roasted turkey with all the accoutrements. So why bother you with this question tonight? Well, let me ask you another question, like a curious kid. Has anyone ever asked you why you thank God? And not just on Thanksgiving, but any time. And what would you say? I want to look at Psalm 100 this evening because the writer did some serious thinking about the question and gave what I believe is an inspired answer. The message isn't just for those who haven't given any thought to the question, but to those of us who might just have an opportunity to share with a family member or a friend who might be inquiring. I find the psalm to be most instructive and inspiring. So let's get into it. Now, if you were an alien, I know this is kind of be a stretch. If you were an alien very new to our planet and were in the vicinity of a major league ballpark and you heard this tremendous roar of a crowd, excited joy that was reverberating from the stadium, people singing from the top of their lungs, "We are the champions, my friend," you might ask someone, "Hey, what's going on in there?" Well, verses 1 and 2 does just that kind of a setup with this tremendous emphasis of praise. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." Doesn't that just beg the question? Why give thanks? There's obviously something worth investigating here with all that noise making, glad serving, and singing. So in verse 3, the psalmist gives us the first of 5 answers. Cling on to those 5 answers. He says in verse 3, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." What? I thought we were made from primordial dust, which mutated over billions and billions of years. So the answer to that little text question, why did we used to be monkeys and why aren't we still monkeys, is because we never were monkeys. Our existence is not due to evolution from dust. We are who we are as human beings because God made us. And that's why we give thanks to God. He made us, and we are His. God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah when He called him into prophetic service, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." But there's more to it than just He made us. We are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't particularly like being called a sheep. I never liked that song a whole lot that we used to do at camp. "I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba." Remember that song, campers? But there is a message in that identification. You see, sheep were valuable, extremely valuable. They were cared for. They were protected. They were fed. They were made to lie down in green pastures, led to drink from still waters, reminiscent of Psalm 23. You know, if you look over our little blue planet and compare it with everything else that we can see in the universe, nothing compares. It has a perfect ecosystem that constantly and literally filtrates the air and the water. Plants and fruit-bearing trees reproduce, giving us an unending supply of food. And you know we could go on with that line of thinking. When you look at this marvelous planet on which we live, our pasture, you cannot but know there is a God in heaven, a God who cares and provides for His people, His sheep. Yes, being a sheep is an endearing term when you realize just how incredible God's power is to create and to sustain life. Oh, this psalmist has thought long and hard about why we should give thanks. What a great reason. He created us. He sustains us. We are His. And then the psalmist bursts into another praise-filled emotion as he writes in verse 4, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." This praise chorus adds more to the cause of thanksgiving because, you see, it's an invitation. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, he says. His courts with praise. You know, when someone comes to your door in the middle of the day, you answer it. If it's a pesky neighbor or a solicitor who is not your friend, you politely say, "Get lost, fella." You don't invite him in, do you? No. And even when it's that wonderful pizza delivery guy bringing you Chicago-style pizza with everything on it, you just pay him and say adios, right? So how is our relationship with God so different that He would open His gates to you and me who were once His enemies? And yet what He sees in us is His sheep, whom He calls by name, whom He knows so intimately, He can tell us even the number of hairs on our head. And for me, that number changes daily. It is the Lord who is God who invites us into His courts with the warmest welcome. Because you see, no one is a stranger to God. Why give thanks? Think of the invitation that He's extended to you and me and to all people. To enter into His courts is to come into contact with the infinite, all-powerful God. Where sheep are cared for, where lepers are healed, where brokenness is mended, where sorrow is turned to rejoicing, where pain is replaced with laughter, and where the dead are raised to eternal life. Those are some gates. You know that the Lord, He is God. And now He extends an invitation to us into His very courts, even though we're unworthy. For He will take you and make you worthy. And He will dress you according to the royal righteousness that He gives through Jesus. So that's the second. Now I said there were five. The first was that He is God. He made us. He sustains us. We are His people. That's the first one. He has invited us into His eternal courts. That's the second thing. The reason we praise God and thank God. Now, the last three answers can be found in verse 5 of the text. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. So the third answer to break this verse down lies, first of all, in God's goodness. The Lord is good. To say that God is good means that God always acts in accordance to what is right, what is true, what is good. Goodness is part of God's nature, and He cannot contradict Himself. Holiness and righteousness are part of God's nature. He cannot do anything that is unholy or unrighteous. God is the standard, the gold standard of all that is good. And that's a good reason to thank Him. The fact that God is good means that He has no evil in Him. His intentions and motivations are always, you guessed it, good. He always does what is right, and the outcome of His plan is always good, as St. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. You see, there is nothing unpleasant, evil, or dark in Him. The Bible teaches that God's goodness extends from His nature to everything, everything that He does. So when things are looking bleak in our lives, remember to give thanks. The Lord is good. The fourth answer to the question, why give thanks, follows. His steadfast love endures forever. In the Old Testament Hebrew, the word for steadfast love is chesed. Chesed. Some people say chesed because they can't do the chesed. It is that sure love that will not let Israel go. Israel's persistent waywardness will never destroy that steadfast love. Think of that. Though Israel be faithless, yet God remains faithful still. This steady, persistent refusal of God to wash His hands of wayward Israel is the essential meaning of this beautiful word, chesed. This is difficult because all of our human analogies fail when it comes to such a term as this. How do you illustrate steadfast love? I only know of one way, the way of the cross. I cannot in my wildest dreams understand what drove Jesus to the cross with such passion, as He did for a people who rejected Him. Are we not in that same category? Have we not rejected Him because He makes us embarrassed or uncomfortable? Have we not rejected His teachings that promise us light and life rather choosing the way of darkness and death? And yet Luke records a classic definition of steadfast love, Luke 9:51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, that is, to the cross, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Some say he set his face like flint, fully knowing that his life would end up on a Roman cross. That, my friends, was steadfast love. Finally, the fifth answer to the question, why give thanks, is his faithfulness to all generations. Were it not for God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the word faithfulness would not have been a part of our vocabulary. Because faithfulness does not exist in the sinful human existence. Experience. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Hymnist Thomas Chisholm penned these words of God's faithfulness in a very familiar hymn. I don't want to do the first line of the verse because that'll give it away. There is no shadow of turning in thee. Thou changest not thy compassions. They fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. And you can complete the next line. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Why give thanks? I hope these five answers from Psalm 100, it's such a short psalm, it's something you can kind of keep handy, mark in your Bible. I hope that it will more than refresh your souls and fill you with gladness and praise as you celebrate Thanksgiving Day tomorrow. Just remember, He created us. He is God. We are His. We are the sheep of His pasture. He invited us to enter into the gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. He is always good. Even in the things that we can't understand, His steadfast love endures forever. And finally, His faithfulness also endures forever and to all generations of which we are a part. Happy Thanksgiving in Jesus. Amen.